Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to the Along Came a Writer Network. Opinions expressed in our shows do not necessarily reflect those of the network.
Welcome to Chat Noir, Mystery and Suspense. I hope you're having a day filled with clues, conundrums, and red herrings. I'm Linda Kozar, your host, and I'll be interviewing author Janet McHenry today. We're giving away one of her books, Bride and Seek. If you didn't enter the drawing on Facebook and you would like to add your name to the hat, please call in. Our number is 516-453-5123. And you can just call in even if you don't want to enter, and you can ask Janet questions about her books or mysteries in general. Okay, so here's a little bit about Janet McHenry. She graduated from the University of California, Berkeley with a degree in journalism and married her high school sweetheart, Craig, and worked as a newspaper reporter and editor. They eventually settled down in the Sierra Valley in Northern California, where Craig is a rancher, and where there is not a single stoplight in the entire county. Wow. In their town of 700 plus folks, she says they have raised four pretty good children, all done with college and married, and are now enjoying the grandkids, all of whom are perfect. As a busy writer, speaker, and prayer coordinator at her church and board member of the Sierra Schools Foundation, Janet says the only pastime she has time for is friends. She looks forward to knowing you better. Find her on Facebook or other social media sites, and her Looking Up blog. She was also the Advanced Writers and Speakers Member of the Year and the Mount Hermon Writers Conference Writer of the Year, both notable accomplishments, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Welcome to the show, Janet.
Hi, Linda. Very excited to be here today.
I'm so glad you are, too. I'm just going to tick off your books really quickly, and I know that's probably not all of them. I've found that I never quite get all the books an author's written. We don't update our sites all the time, and we're busy, and you know. But I'm gonna go with Prayer Walk by Waterbrook Press, Daily Prayer Walk, also Waterbrook, Prayer Streaming, also Waterbrook, Training for Success, Girlfriend Gatherings, Prayer Changes Teens, My Prayer Buddy Devotional, The Annie Shepherd Mysteries, Secret of the Locked Trunk, Mystery at the Old Stamp Mill, Golden Rule Duo Series, and the winner is Trick and Trouble, The Chosen Ones, Time Out, Caught in the Act, and Mission Impossible. Wow, that's a lot of books. And the series at the end, that's a children's book series, right?
Right. That's a first chapter book series. But I also wrote Girls Mysteries, too. Yes.
Oh, fun. I know that, like, the Mystery at the Old Stamp Mill sounds so Nancy Drew to me. I just love that title.
Thanks. I kind of fashioned it after a spot near us here in the California Sierra, an actual stamp mill that would grind the rock to get the gold out. And so the art on that cover was super fun because they used the actual stamp mill in my county for that particular art drawing. It was a fun project.
That sounds great. Now we're going to start with the prayer walk. I read the story behind what inspired you to write it, but would you share that with us? Tell us how you got started. As a walker myself, I appreciate it.
Well, I was kind of in a physical mess about 20 years ago in my life, and the worst moment was when I walked out my back door one day and I found myself in a crumpled heap because my knee had given way. So I knew I needed to do something about my health, but I also knew that God had been calling me to a deeper spiritual walk. So as I began, I decided I would just get up 15 minutes earlier and I'd go out and walk and I would pray as I walked. And one day I was walking past our little daycare center when I saw what I call a single daddy's ballet. He handed over his little toddler girl in a blanketed bundle to the daycare worker, and it wasn't even 6 o'clock in the morning yet. And just as he did that, the little girl said, "Bye, Daddy, I love you." And I knew at that moment that God had called me more for just kind of the minus of my prayers, but that I was to open my eyes and see the needs in my community.
Oh, that's beautiful. And so what happened next?
I began realizing that there were all kinds of needs around me, the businesses, the people in the homes. And so God began putting on my heart to just pray for whatever I saw. And that's really what prayer walking is. It's praying on site with insight, as Steve Hawthorne would say. You know, wherever you are, there's a need for prayer, whether you're actually walking or not.
Wow. I love that. Praying on site with insight.
Right.
I love that.
That's his line, not mine, Steve Hawthorne.
But it is nice. And so have you ever gotten feedback from some of the things you prayed for and or maybe realized that your prayers came to fruition?
Really, all the time.
I'm sorry that somebody just called in and then they left us. So I don't know what this is. Okay. All right. Janet, are you there? Janet? Hello. Well, we seem to have lost Janet, and I hope that she will be able to call back in. I'm not sure what happened to her, but we'll be asking her more about her series. I'm going to try and contact her quickly, and we'll get right back to what we were doing. And let's see if that's her again. Janet?
Hi, Linda. Hi.
Yeah,
sorry, I lost you there. I don't know what happened.
I know. We lost you. And we do have another caller. Hello, caller. Did you want to enter the drawing or did you have a question for Janet? Oops, whoever it was is gone again. So
oh.
So I'm not sure. All righty. So what inspired you? Let's start at the beginning. What inspired you to begin writing and kind of tell us your journey about how you started writing?
Many years ago, I was at a women's retreat, and the speaker said, now, ladies, I want you to go out, and I want you to find a rock, and I want you to sit on it until you hear from God. And I thought that was a little crazy, but I tend to be an obedient child, so I went out and found my rock, and I was there a bit when I just sensed that God was saying to me, I want you to write for me. And I truly at that time did not understand all the circumstances of what that meant. But I went to a Christian writers conference called the Billy Graham School of Christian Writing in Minneapolis. And it became very clear what that meant. It meant writing for Christian magazines and then eventually writing Christian books. And I've been blessed over the years to have had many opportunities to write different kinds of books and to minister to others through speaking and articles as well.
Now, what about your first book contract? How did that happen? Because we all remember our first.
Oh, yeah. My first book contract, I never even kind of expected to be able to write books. I was happy writing articles, but I felt led to write when my children were little. I wanted to write for children. And so it was a little board book. It was a Bible's kind of a story. And it was a flip book. So if you read it one way, it pivoted and you read it one way, it was the Bible story, and you flipped the book to the back, and you read it the other way, it was the nonfiction application. I took that to a writer's conference at Mount Hermon, and one of the teachers there, Christine Tangvall, said, "Wow, this is very much like a book that I have in mind, but yours is better, and I'm going to introduce you to my editor." And that's really a lot of what Christian publishing is about. It's very generous and kind and supportive.
Yes.
And I've really been blessed by many writers over the years.
You know, that is so true. It's so unlike regular publishing. I mean, someone will just put their arm around you and say, "Let me introduce you to a friend of mine," or, you know, it's just those connections and those relationships you make, and they're not shallow. They're fun and they're deep, you know. So I think
they're
that's wonderful.
Lifelong connections, really, and very wonderful friendships.
Yes.
So that one, that one little board book actually led to 13 different children's books that I wrote for one company. So
now, you write in different genres. You write nonfiction and fiction, children's. I mean, which one is your favorite so far, or do you have a favorite?
Favorites, you know, growing up and even as a mom, when someone asked me what's your favorite color or your favorite food, I could never think, but I always enjoy exactly what I'm doing at the time. I did a recent Bible study for First Place for Health called Training for Success. I loved doing that. I loved writing this mystery. Probably my more of a comfort zone is nonfiction, though, writing about prayer. And that's probably what's been, I don't know, kind of stretched me the most, I would guess.
Yeah, it's funny. Some people find writing fiction a lot easier and nonfiction harder, or vice versa. But you know, if you're a writer, you can do it. You can do, if you're versatile, you can do both, and have a good time doing it too. So tell us about Bride and Seek. Tell us about this mystery and maybe a little bit about Annie's Fiction, of which, you know, I've also written for them. But I just think it's a kind of a wonderful combination of craft and writing. How about you?
Well, Bride and Seek is number 17 of 24 books that have been or will be written for the Antique Shop Mysteries, which is published by Annie's Publishing. And it is a subscription kind of a mystery. So you subscribe to the series and you get a book or more a month, and they're very fun stories about the protagonist, the sleuth, Maggie Watson. And she is a 40-some-year-old woman who has lost her husband, but she has gained her Aunt Evelyn's estate on the Maine coast, which includes a little antique shop in the corner of the property that overlooks the bay of the ocean. And all these mysterious things start happening. Objects, she finds objects that have some sort of mysterious history to them. And so goes the series. And mine is about a 1920s flapper wedding dress that she discovers in Aunt Evelyn's closet.
And, who are you?
The level of mystery, like, what is this dress? But also the dress goes missing. And then so that the mystery goes on from there. It's fun.
That's fun. How many mysteries have you written? I was trying to count them all.
Four, including this one for adults. And then I wrote a series of three mysteries for girls that are sort of like a Christian Nancy Drew kind of a mystery series. I loved Nancy Drew as a teenager and read everything I could get my hands on. So I created a
and Hardy
Nancy
Boys
Drew type character. Yes.
Did you once
Hardy
I
Boys,
once I read
right.
all those Hardy, and then there were like Cherry Ames, student nurse. I don't know if you read those.
Right.
But
no,
there
I,
were
I
all
just,
sorts.
Never wanted to be a nurse.
I was just wanting some more Nancy Drew mysteries, and there just weren't any more.
Right. I ran out too.
What's your favorite part about writing a mystery or adding suspense to something? I mean, do you see it in your mind when you're writing?
I loved the it's sort of mathematical, and I can tend to be sort of, if that makes sense, I go at writing more from a left brain point of view than a right brain point of view, where you can plot it out. You can create all kinds, bring in various characters who can be suspects. So you lead people off into false trails, and then you eliminate all those possibilities until there's absolutely nothing left for the reader except their own very good brain that really could, who is the bad guy in the story. So I love that kind of mathematical aspect of mystery writing. And although I did try to free form right brain one of my mysteries, and then I went crazy halfway through the book, and then I thought, stop this creating outline, it's not working. But
I found a happy medium between the two. I free form it part of the way, and then I plot it out. You know, I reach a certain point and I say, okay, now it's time to finish it, you know, plot it out.
I'm Maggie. Maggie is my favorite character in the story. She definitely is someone that the reader can identify. She's very human, but she's also a really kind person. She could be your friend. And she has empathy and sympathy for, you know, the people around her, even those people who, you know, potentially could be the bad guy or the bad woman in the story. So, you know, I like her a lot. I thought she was very sweet.
So you'd want to meet her in real life?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, someone like that.
I felt like we could sit down in the cafe and definitely have tea or coffee together. So.
Now, do you have every writer I know has a book that they want to write, but they haven't written it yet because the timing's just not there. I mean, do you have a book like that in mind, something in the back of your mind that you're still kind of chewing on, thinking about?
I have a couple books, nonfiction books, coming out next year. One is 50 Life Lessons for Grads. And it'd be a great gift book for graduates, and that's coming out with Worthy Publishing. And then another real sincere book of my heart, and it really could be the last book I ever wrote if there were one, but I'm just not supposed to talk about the title of that yet, but it's coming out next summer.
Okay.
And it's a book on prayer. There is another one other book of my heart I would like to write, and I do have that title, and I've had that title for a long time, but I just don't feel free to share that quite yet. It's not completely gelled as to how I would put it together. So, but working on that and a couple other ideas.
You do have to jealously guard those titles, you know, because even though they're, you know, they're kind of free, anyone else can kind of grab them.
Right. Well, and, you know, the idea, you know, could be on someone else's heart too. And, you know, and if that person gets that book out first, that's great. You know, I would support and rally around that writer, but still kind of in a protective mode for me. So love sharing, and I tend to overshare sometimes, not in an unkind way, but in an enthusiastic way. And my publisher is reining me in on this particular title that's coming out next year. So it'll be out pretty soon. If people connect with me on Facebook, they can find out.
Yes, and you know, you'll do plenty of sharing when it comes out, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you include in your books from real life travels? I mean, when you're traveling, are you taking notes?
Definitely. Before I wrote this book, Bride and Seek, it was set on the Maine coast, and I'd never been to Maine, so I thought that was a really good excuse to go visit the New England states. So I did last September with two girlfriends, and we did a road trip. We started in Massachusetts and did a big circle all the way around the six New England states, and fell in love with a little coastal town called Ogunquit in Maine. And I thought, okay, this is the town that it could be, or it could be similar to this, similar to Somerset Harbor, where Bride and Seat takes place. So I got all of those sights in my head, and I got those smells and the sounds and so forth. And that was really wonderful.
I would fail a spelling bee. If you had to spell that, Ogunquit.
Ogunquit. Yeah, it's an Indian name, and it was a cute little town with Adirondack chairs all lined up on the coast, and darling little shops. It was a very fun time to go. So
you incorporated that. And what's the most exotic place you've traveled and written about?
Not that I've written about, but Craig and I did get to go to on an Alaskan cruise last September, and that that was just amazing. And beyond that, the most exotic place I've ever visited has been the Cape Verde Islands. That they are a series of 10 islands off of West Hump of Africa, and my son married a woman who had African origins, and they got married there. So went over there for a fabulous wedding right on the ocean. It was very beautiful, but hot, very hot.
It just sounds like a setting. Maybe that could be
it is. if I'd had a little more time to do more research there, but now I know about it and I have some resources, but I haven't felt pulled to that kind of destination yet, or quite qualified to write out of the African experience. So, that was a very exciting trip.
So, is there a genre you would never write in or never read?
I don't tend to read like thriller suspense kinds of things. I used to tell people that's because I taught high school English and I had enough terror in high school hallways. I tend to read, you know, more kind of classic literature or, you know, just kind of fun romance. I like literary romance and, but I don't read sci-fi, stuff like that. I don't read a lot of fantasy other than I read all the C.S. Lewis stuff and Tolkien. But but I probably would not write in those genres at all. I prefer like a literary romance sort of a piece. You know, that's one book that I'm working on right now. It's in proposal.
Or historical.
So we'll see.
Too.
I prefer contemporary settings, actually. So while I do read classic literature that, you know, that has a historical setting, I tend to personally prefer contemporary romance that has more of a literary bent to it. So that's area.
Well, I have a question. Do you hate any of your characters?
I think there's like a sense of humanness, you know, sense of like a human thread of some kind with all of the characters, even those who have, you know, bad motives. So I can empathize. Would I hang out with them? Not necessarily. I like quirky characters. I didn't make really evil people in this particular story. And I know the series does have some murder in it. Mine does not. I can't kill people off in books. And I never did that in a mystery, but I like to have some sense, some redeemable value in every single character in a book. And so that there'd be at the end, by the end of it, a sense of remorse and contrition and restoration of character by the end of the story. That's really important to me, because I believe that we all are redeemable as human beings. And, you know, each of our souls is worthy of redemption.
Well, you know, I asked that question because Agatha Christie hated her character, Poirot, and she couldn't wait to kill him off. And I didn't know that, you know, but she just couldn't wait to get rid of him. And the characters love, I mean, readers love the character, but but she couldn't wait. So, you know, I like to do something fun at the end. We have a fun little kind of lightning round, but really not at the speed of lightning, so you don't have to rush. I'm just going to ask you if you like one thing or the other more, and it's sort of October themed. So, favorite retro candy, wax lips or jawbreakers?
Oh, wax lips. Yeah.
Although they taste terrible, if I remember right. I mean, I never really like the way they tasted.
And I come from an era of the penny candy store, so I remember.
Oh yes, that was such a joy. The old Twilight Zone series or the Twilight movies?
Oh, Twilight Zone for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. And when there was a marathon, I binge watch my, you know, always looking for my favorite ones. Okay, who's scarier, Vincent Price or Bela Lugosi?
Bela Lugosi, very creepy eyes right there.
And he was even buried in his Dracula outfit.
Yeah, very scary.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know if you've seen these movies, but I'm going to ask if you like The Ghost and Mr. Chicken better or the Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein movies.
Oh, Abbott and Costello, anything, that's for sure. Again, fun.
Their whole monster series were hilarious. Okay, now, when you write mysteries or read them, what is scarier to you, a door creaking open or a door that's partially ajar?
Ooh, that's a good one. Probably door creaking open, because that would indicate definitely someone's there or something.
Yeah, that would be kind of scary. Okay, I'm gonna play this sound. What's creepier, a piano or a horse whinnying, like a creepy horse?
Oh, a piano like that.
Okay.
For sure, yes. I've been around horses a lot. I know when they're scary and when to stay away from them.
Well, of Bride and Seek is Anna McFarland. And I will get you two in touch. And congratulations, Anna McFarland. And gosh, I hope you guys will sign up to get Bride and Seek. You know, join the series, is a wonderful series. And I know you'll enjoy Bride and Seek, but Janet McHenry writes a whole bunch of other books, so I hope you'll go to her her website, www.JanetMcHenry.com, and check out all her other books. So you can find her on Amazon, you can find her in Barnes & Noble, any place online. She's all over the map, and she's on social media too. So thank you so much, Janet, for chatting with me today on Chat Noir.
Thank you for having me, Linda. It was really fun.
And have a wonderful day. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.